Production. Recorded live.
This show contains mature content. Listener discretion is advised. One New York City Puerto Rican decided to start a radio show determined to piss the world off. By shoving a mirror within society's face, he kicks them balls. I present to you Louis B. This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show.
Yo, welcome to the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. We're on an active war on bullshit. The ends sometimes justify the means. So if you're angry and want the truth exposed, then strap in and prepare to be shocked. This is Smash Mouth Talk. If you can't accept it, then fuck off. I'm your host, Louis B. I don't hold my tongue or censor myself. I attack the issues that I don't agree with, and I drag them into the light. Before we get started with today's topic, we have news and we have the Prayer for Good Radio by the Honorable Reverend X. Reverend X, take it away.
In the name of Jesus, repeat it after me, bitch. I come in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. God Almighty, you know, ruler of heaven and earth and every goddamn thing in between. You understand me now? But you trust in the devil, huh? Well, if God send the devil in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, then motherfucker, you fucked up, huh? You fucked up, huh? You know your ass is doomed. What you got to speak? If you don't know shit to speak on this topic I'm bringing up, shut your goddamn ass up. Man, I come in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. How you come with me? Is you down doing what I'm talking about doing? Lawyers, then get this book open. Trained in these words to get the poor, the fatherless, and the widows up out of them penitentiaries. Is you down with that? You ain't down with that? Shut your goddamn ass up.
Yeah, that's right. We got news and commentary today. I'm actually getting enemy combatant, aka Glenn Z, on the show today. Oh hell, I'm trying to call him. I'm trying to patch him in through Skype, so that way I could get him to talk here. Oh man, pain in my assholes. Getting anything done on freaking. Alright, talk shoot through Skype fucking sucks. So I'm calling him now. Oh. Shoe first. Damn. If you are not a talk shoe member, press 1, then pound. Okay. Oh, criminy. Jesus Christ. It's a fucking to-do with this fucking thing. This is why I don't like using Skype with TalkShoe. It's very buggy. Very, very buggy. Alright, let me get enemy combatant here. And, okay. And then we keep this, We do this, and we unmute. Oh, fuck me. Alright, Oh, goodness, he's gonna be... Alright, working through it. Soldier through it. We can do this. And, hold on. I'm gonna put you on. Just gotta freaking... What the hell is it? Oh, hell. Alright, hold on. Just do this again. Call TalkShoe again. We got enemy combatant on. I got him on Skype. I'm trying to patch it in through. I'm trying to patch it in through Skype. There we go. There we go. And hey, enemy combatant, are you there?
1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2-2.
Yeah. Woo, we got him. What's up? Long time no talk to my brother.
Yeah, I thought I'd come on because I got my off day tonight, and plus my little sister's out of the house at a sleepover. So I basically have the upper floor all to myself, and I can actually make some noise at this hour.
Ah, so you didn't decide to you didn't decide to call a chick and start a revolution.
Well, look, there's a lot of women out there, but they're all limp-wristed, and they're all federal, if not agents, snitches.
Yeah, but, you know, pussy's pussy. I'm just saying.
No,
I don't
look
care.
Look at the Russian spies who were busted recently, man. That dovetails with the video.
Yeah,
that dovetails
that.
With my video about sexy Russian chicks running around spying everywhere. So, I mean, you could be next, Louis. They like fat guys.
I sure hope so. No, they don't care. I'm not big. I'm not well known enough for them to be sending those sexy spies to, you know, hop on my disco stick. You know what I mean?
But that's my point, though, is that they make it obvious. It's like, hey, I'm a gorgeous looking whatever knockout. You know, you want to fuck? And then next thing you know, you're in a FEMA camp.
You know what my thing is? Because, see, I'm a sexual ninja. The moment some chick give me the okay to ruffle through her bramble patch, it's on her.
So who we got on the line, or anybody listening? I know Miguel's tuning.
Yeah, we got a whole bunch of people listening on the crotchshotradio.com. We got Miguel, we got Christy, we got CFR to hell, we got Moose, we got Paulie, we got Chris, and we also got Chris Geo. You know who Chris Geo is, right?
Yeah. He's a great YouTuber, InfoWarrior.
Yeah, I'm going to start here. Miguel says I'm going to start pimping Russian chicks. Damn Skippy. Well, we're doing news and commentary. I don't know if you want to ride shotgun, if you got your own stuff. But
I don't have anything planned. I'll just comment on whatever you're talking about. But,
right.
You know, that's the reason I'm popping in, because you've been really, you know, you've been carrying on the info legacy, man, like crazy. Your page is I still visit your site, of course, you know, to get some articles and information. So you're really the lead on this one, Lou. All
right, cool. That's we got a Supreme Court voids Chicago handgun ban, expands gun rights nationwide. I mean, that's a little bit of good news. I mean, I hate to be the one to to look a gift horse in the mouth, but you kind of question why now, right? It's like for so long it's been illegal to have the citizens of Chicago, the city of Chicago and Illinois. It was against the law for them to have handguns, any type of weapon. It's against the law. And of course, as a lot of you may know, Chicago is one of the most violent cities. About 50 people died from gunshots, and I mean the citizenry are disarmed. I mean, which proves that gun laws only affect people who are law abiding. It doesn't affect the criminals.
All I got to say about this is, and I agree with everything you're saying, is basically the government doesn't give us our right to protect ourselves. They're saying, well, we've now granted you the ability, whereas before we were blocking it. You've always had the right to defend yourself. Just like, even if weed isn't legal, you still have the right to pick that fruit out of the ground, roll it into a paper, and smoke it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do whatever the hell you want. The government doesn't give you permission to do anything. But you're right, though. A lot of people see this as basically, you know, the government, the loving master, is giving us our rights to us, when really, you know, it's in our Second Amendment, it's in our culture, and I don't see why the government we have to wait for a piece of paper to be signed to go out and defend ourselves.
Right. I mean, I've always made this point on the show. In New York City, it's so hard. I mean, we don't have like a total gun ban, but it takes a better part of a year to get a license to buy a gun. And then you have to register it with one police plaza and go through all this to do and get an FBI file on you and fingerprinted and all this crap. We could barely carry pepper spray in New York City. You can't just get pepper spray from the local Chinese variety store. You have to pick it up legally at a pharmacy. And not a lot of pharmacies in New York carry pepper spray. And even still, that you have to show them your ID, and they
really,
put you,
you
on
can
a...
go to a gun store and buy pepper spray. Right.
Yeah, no. In,
the,
in New York City, they put you on a database.
Really? Even for pepper spray at a
even
gun store?
Even for pepper not even, at a pharmacy.
Wow. That's and see, that's the one thing I want to comment on, what you said earlier. This is the one thing I forgot to say. There's a very big difference between being unarmed and being disarmed. The people of Chicago have been disarmed through the legislation, through the enforcement. It is different when you're unarmed. Unarmed means you don't have anything to begin with. Disarm means you had something and the government forcefully came in and took it away.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Even, you know, as you know, I have some hand-to-hand training. Even still, you got to be careful, especially in New York.
Louis like when... circle jerks. Louis, I'm sorry, go ahead.
What? Who? What? Huh?
Hand-to-hand.
Where's the cracker? I'm starving now. Anyways, moving on. No. Good one. So, no, you got to also be careful when you're fighting, even when you're defending yourself, because if you, like, kill a person, when you're trying to defend yourself, you're going to jail. There, you have.
Well, did you hear about the rape in Toronto, or alleged rape, that they were detaining these female protesters and fingering them and strip-searching them?
Oh, that's lovely.
And threatening them to be gangbanged?
Is that one of the other secret laws that were passed, that all protesters, anarchists, females could be diddled? That's the new freedom.
It's a new public fingering act of 2010.
Yeah, I just saw this video. Someone was exposing, I just posted it on Crotch Shot Radio. Someone actually pointed out an undercover cop, and when you look at him, like, oh, this is so fucking obvious. I mean, we all know that the cops are posing as anarchists and trying to start shit and provoke.
Mm-hmm. That's the point I was trying to make with the Russian spies. I mean, what a joke. That news story is supposed to be today's top news story, or yesterday's top news story. It's really a huge distraction from the fact that America... and our government has agents all over the place also, and not just foreign, but domestically also. So the whole idea that, those evil Russians, they got spies everywhere. Yeah, but what about America? What about England? There's spies running around everywhere. The Canadians are some of the worst, actually, as you were talking about, man. They make it so obvious.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of question this. Question the whole Russian spy thing, because we're getting spied on by the Israelis. How come it's okay for the Israelis to spy on us? That never makes the...
Well, no, exactly. See how this Russian thing made a top headline, and people are like, oh my God, spying and Russians. But the Israelis dancing in Liberty State Park and in Weehawken on 9/11 on the New Jersey waterfront, that doesn't bother you? That doesn't need to be investigated?
Yeah, I mean... At the very least, I'm really, like, I'm kind of weary. You know, you're of a Jewish ancestry. I also have other Jewish friends, and I'm kind of weary to even delve into the whole Zionist thing, this whole Jews did 9/11 thing, or how the Holocaust, the Holocaust deniers stuff, that not that many people died.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm familiar with all of it.
Yeah, I'm kind of weary about that, because A, I have a lot of friends who are Jewish who do feel that way, and, you know, needless to say, sometimes I am afraid of offending certain people, you know what I mean?
Well, look, Louis, I'm going to stay on with you for another 15, 30 minutes tops, because people are going to sleep in my house here too, but thank you for letting me on your show, first of all, and to answer what you were talking about. Here's an example from my life recently that shows you how we can flip the script on these New World Order goons. And and the whole point is, we know that Israel is, you know, they're down with the New World Order. We know that America, they're part of it. So we know that they're all guilty. But here's how we flip the script. I was at my grandfather's funeral, God rest his soul. and the other day. And later on, after the service was over and everything, and we had the Jewish tradition, you know, the shaman or the priest, whatever, the rabbi, said his mumbo jumbo and cast the soul off to the other world, and, you know, tried to put the physical body to rest and all that other good stuff. After the services were done and we were over, you know, over it, you know, the actual ritual of putting the body into the ground and all that, you know, we're discussing, you know, the person's life, you know, back at the house, and oh, I remember him as my grandfather, and I remember him as my father, you know, it's my mother, and oh, I remember him as my friend, and all these people, you know, talking about how they knew this guy.
Yeah, we got someone from North New Jersey on, so, I mean.
Their different perspectives, and, yeah, the long story short of the, you know, why am I giving all this backstory? Is because people are all connected to this grandfather. You know, he was my grandfather, but he was a father and friend to others. People are all connected to this person in different ways. And, you know, they all have their positions. Some of them are pro-Israeli. Some of them are pro-American. Some of them are anti-Iranian, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, obviously the subjects come up before within our own family and extended social circles. You know, do you side with Israel? Do you side with Palestinians? What do you think about, you know, the conflict? And she started talking to me, this one lady, Olga, who happens to live near where a lot of these Russian spies were busted in Montclair. She actually approached me at the dinner table there at our lunch reception after the funeral and started talking about the New World Order. I didn't even approach her. I didn't even say a word. But, you know, at the funeral, you know, these things pop up sometimes. And she started asking me about what do I think about secret societies and what do I think about politics. And do you know, is Obama a socialist? And I said, no, he's part of the New World Order. He's a puppet. And she's like, oh, really? I think the same thing. And this is how we can take the opportunity, like a death of somebody, and turn it into an occasion for creativity. Because we know that the New World Order is down with death and dying. If we can take that and flip it on them and use it to educate people, I gave her a copy of Invisible Empire. I gave her a copy of Space Odyssey, my movie. And I said, please check out these films. Don't take my word for it. Please, you know, you already have the feeling in your heart that something is wrong. And if you can take that personal tragedy, like the death of your grandfather, and take it back, and use it as an opportunity to educate people, we are unstoppable. So I just wanted to share my personal story.
I hear you. Hey, my condolences, you know.
Great
awakening, you know,
taking place is the point.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the New World Order is losing. They should have gotten shit done by 2000. The fact that they're going for broke, they're being sloppy. The fact
exactly.
That,
look at the way how guilty they're all acting. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, if the New World Order wasn't fucking up so bad, we wouldn't have Zbigniew Brzezinski having to comment on this mass awakening of the American public, with the sound of fear in his eye, in his voice. I mean, I don't know if you caught that, but there was a sense of fear. Anyways, we got a caller from North.
And
pick
that he is now a world renowned sex. Harassment guy. I mean,
I was about to mention that, but you know, I questioned that. Why are they throwing Al Gore under the bus all of a sudden? Wasn't he their boy? Did he fuck up that bad?
Oh no, they're in trouble. I mean, at the meeting, the guy asks Brzezinski the question. He says, "You know, we're talking about a one world government. How come we're having so much trouble?" And he said, "Because basically, people realize that regardless of whether it's political or spiritual or whatever, academic, people are questioning their position in life and saying, is that all there is to it? Am I really just a teacher, a policeman, a radio host, or whatever? Or is there more to this reality? What if individuality..." See, here's the thing. What if individuality is bullshit? And I'm not saying collectivism is good. I'm not saying communism or whatever is good. Obviously, the governments abolished religion and they turned themselves, the state, the government, turns itself into the new God. You know, obviously, we know what they do. They claim to be atheistic, but they declare themselves to be new gods in their place. So they're religious in that respect. But, you know, there is this awakening taking place where people are realizing, what if my view of the world has been made only to focus on the name that we were given, the paper soldier, our birth certificate, or your legal identity? What if that is just a creation, an illusion? What if we're actually more than that? What if we declare our sovereignty? What if we declare, I'm not going along with this. I am a spirit. I am not just a human being. I am the infinite consciousness possessing the body of a human being. And what you can do with that consciousness is just unbelievable. And like I said, we can take the death of somebody like my grandfather and flip it on the New World Order and use it as an opportunity to wake people up. Because that's what my grandfather would have really wanted, I think, at the end of the day. He would have wanted me to not be ashamed of my leadership position. I gave the eulogy at his funeral. I talked about what a great person he was. But later that day, I actually took that opportunity and said, here, you already, you know, you have the same feelings and thoughts as I do. Here's a DVD. Share it with your neighbors. And interestingly enough, the reason why I'm still stuck on this point, Louis, is that look at how indirectly that affected the news. I sent out this DVD package filled with truth and information into the very region where a few days later they bust all these Russian spies, the Montclair, New Jersey region. And, of course, there was also spies in Virginia and elsewhere.
Very good. So,
isn't that crazy, man? That's like an indirect effect on consciousness. If we just put it out there, it'll resonate and ripple out and have a ripple effect.
There you go. So, very, very interesting. Very interesting. Moving on to other article here. Airport body scanners deliver radiation dose 20 times higher than first thought, warns expert. Full body scanners at airports could increase your risk of skin cancers, experts warn. An X-ray machine has been brought in at Manchester, Gatwick, at Heathrow, but scientists say radiation from the scanners has been underestimated and could be particularly risky for children. You find that interesting? The device that they used in the same airport where the underwear bomber got on didn't detect that bomb. Yeah, it's in America. Yeah, they put these in America to basically enslave us. And of course, surprise, surprise, it harms us. G, you there?
Listening.
Yeah. Well, any thoughts?
Hey, Lou.
Yo.
Yeah, this is Eric.
Eric, what's up? I said North New Jersey. What's up?
Oh, I didn't hear anything. I was waiting for Glenn to finish talking. Big shout out to
you. Hey, buddy, I didn't know you were with us, man.
Was listening to all the information. Good conversation. If you don't mind, I know you guys were talking about, when I jumped in, you guys were talking about Israel, and it's interesting.
Yeah.
I know it's an effective tool that Zionists use. It shuts people up immediately, even. As Lou, you kind of just intimated yourself, you're very leery of talking about that particular subject. I used to be the same way, and it is very effective. I have many, many, many Jewish friends, and I know that's that old cliche, you know, oh, some of my best friends, but they are.
Yeah.
And I have the gamut. I have from ultra-Zionist Jews that I've run for my union board on the same slate with, and I'm not talking about, you know, I'm talking go out to dinner, been to their house, we email each other, ultra-Zionist, and I have complete opposite Jewish who are completely anti-Zionist, who believe that the state of Israel should even be dismantled. But that's an effective tool that Zionists use to make us fearful when you do speak out about Israel, that right away it's that magic word, anti-Semitism. Who wants to be called that? Nobody.
Well, like I said,
now,
Eric,
now,
I mean, what about
let me finish my thought first. Anti-Semitism does exist, and it's an ugly beast. But with the Zionists, their goal and what they have, they need to protect. And anybody who dares question Israel, questions what the Israeli government does in the name of Judaism, sometimes they will shut you down in an instant by calling you anti-Semitic. I reject that because I'm not anti-Semitic. I am speaking the truth, and Israel has to be called on the carpet when they're killing activists, when they're killing American citizens, and on and on. You know, we've got to, I think, you know, really expose, especially activists like Glenn and myself and yourself. And I'm right now in my hand, literally, I'm holding the card of a rabbi friend of mine. And he is one of the heads of an anti-Zionist organization. It's NKUSA.org. His name is David Weiss, and he's a rabbi who's anti-Zionist. I mean, you know, it's a fascinating topic, and you know, you're right. It is painful. You know, sometimes, you know, but that's how you find out who your real friends are. You know, and I know many Jews. I there's meetings I go to. Most of the Jews that I go to at these meetings are all anti-Zionist. So, you know, it's a whole interesting thing. I'm actually calling in for another reason, though. Another buddy of mine asked me to call in, if you don't mind. There's as you know, when we meet in the square, there's a whole group of homeless people that call the General Square their home. And one homeless man who's completely incapacitated, he cannot walk at all.
We have that article, by the way, for distribution.
Oh,
I'm going to give it to Lou. Maybe you forward it to Louie. He'll put it on his site because I have the hard version. You have the electronic version.
Yeah, we're looking for. He asked for just a cane. What he really needs is a wheelchair. So if anybody in your listening audience has access to a wheelchair, we can get him a cane. But he really needs a wheelchair. He only asked for a cane.
I could get him crutches.
All he asked for was a cane. If he can have a cane, he'll, you know, very meekly make his way. But he honestly, really, what he needs is a wheelchair. So anyway, I'm just putting that out there in the energy of your show.
Good. Miguel has the link.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, Eric, I want to actually read from that article, a couple articles, just little golden nuggets in here. The Jersey Journal article and the Jersey City Independent. And also I want to address the issues that you brought up about Israel. I'll do that first, actually, because it's simpler. Louie, remember the clip that I sent you, and I'm sure, Eric, you've seen this? Mm-hmm. Norman Finkelstein slams a Jewish girl in the audience who tries to
call
him out or whatever, and he basically puts her in her place. So that's the way I look at it, is, you know, you can... You can certainly question the Holocaust and World War II, but the things to question are, why were the Rockefellers, which were supposedly Jewish, and other elites, why were they actually funding the death of other Jews? Why was IG Farben and Fanta and all these other, and IBM and all these other American companies, why was Wall Street bankrolling Hitler? Why was America supporting the eradication of German dissidents and Jews?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, you have to ask yourself, why were there Israeli agents dancing and among, I believe, 50 to 60 of several hundred that were arrested in connection to 9/11? Why were there unmarked vans on King Street and at the George Washington Bridge? This was all covered by the mainstream media, but you never hear about it anymore. Why were there all these people arrested in connection with the Twin Towers incident that were never fully interrogated and they were let go? And most of them were Israeli agents who were just simply let go. I mean, what is going on here? But side issue, we've talked about that a lot. But the point is that descends into... You know, Zihop, or Zionists made it happen on purpose, that quickly descends into Jew-hop, that the Jews are responsible for the air we breathe and pretty much everything, every drop of rain that comes out of the sky. And it's not a Jewish New World Order conspiracy. Some of the people involved in it may be, but it's
right.
not just them.
Right. When I say Zionist, I'm talking about the Christian Zionists are the worst. I'll tell you why. And they, this is how it's actually an anti-Semitic ideology. They can't wait for Christ to come back and have all the Jews converted to Christ. That's what they believe. That's why people like when Sarah Palin, when somebody of the ilk, of the mindless mindset of Sarah Palin, and go online and look at her herself when she was preaching at her church. These are the type of people who support Zionism, not because they love Jews so much and world. No.
But what's the difference? Is there a difference between
political speak?
But isn't there a difference between Judaism and Zionism?
Yeah, one's a political movement, one's a religious, spiritual movement.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, because I hear arguments that there isn't, that they that most Jews they don't learn out of the Torah. They learn out of the Tanakh or the Talmud.
Well, there's various books, man. There's different sects of Judaism, just like there are sects of Christianity and Islam and Hinduism and any other major religion.
Mm-hmm.
Not
bottom
every Jew believes the same thing that all other Jews believe.
Right. The bottom line, basically, I mean, unless I missed the memo and unless every other Jewish person missed the memo, another Christian, the Jewish Messiah has not come. And that's really what's going
to
lead.
Eric, according to the New World Order, the Jewish Messiah is Barack Obama. How dare you?
I mean, literally,
have you seen those bumper stickers with Barack Obama written in Hebrew?
No, I haven't.
I mean, you don't even have to be able to read Hebrew to see that it says Barack Obama. It's very, I think it even has an English underneath it, but it's ridiculous. I'm sorry.
That's the basis of Zionism is when the Jewish Messiah comes, the Jewish chosen people will get their land, Zion. Now, the Messiah has not come. It's a biblical prophecy, and you can't force the biblical prophecy at the end of weapons and tanks and guns and white phosphorus, and that's what's happening. So this group of rabbis that are right in Brooklyn, you know, 100 of them, more, and that's just here in New York, that do not support the state of Israel, that you never hear from unless they're on Fox News, believe it or not. I've seen them on Fox for maybe 4 minutes, and of course, it's to totally deconstruct their thought process. And it's the same group that Bill Maher, if you saw his documentary called Religious, now, he says all religions are crazy, right? Islam, Christianity, Judaism, they're all nuts, right? The one interview that Bill Maher walks out of, the one interview in that whole documentary, and I saw it twice, is when he's talking to an anti-Zionist rabbi. And Bill Maher can't get over the... Can I swear? Can't get over the fucking fact that the rabbi does not support the state of Israel. It was too much for Bill Maher. He's like, what? And Bill Maher takes his microphone off and walks out of the interview. Bill Maher walks out of his own fucking movie.
Eric.
But he's a.
Did you see the recent? This is exactly on this topic. The guy behaves in the exact same manner as you're describing Bill Maher behave. Did you see the clip of We Are Change LA confront Karl Rove?
Oh, that was brilliant. That
yeah, and the guy
glorious.
At the end, he's the Jewish guy. He's like, you ruined
yeah.
it. We came to see a speaker, and you chased him out. He's like, yeah, but he's a criminal against humanity.
Right. He was great. That guy was wonderful. He had all the answers right back to the you know that woman's yelling at him. You're a communist. He's like, they like to hurl these what some people think are insults or whatever that you know you're not shut up and listen to the facts and you know.
Yeah, exactly. No, and the whole fact that Jeremy Roth Kushel is Jewish, and people have tried to analyze him and say he's down with the New World Order, you know, I don't think that's... I mean, just look at the fruits of his actions. He's clearly against the New World Order. He gave Joe Biden the nanothermite paper. He's done, I mean, he's done amazing
work. I'm glad
work.
You mentioned Joe Biden. Joe Biden, before they got elected, you know, quote, Joe Biden and Barack Obama especially had to suck the balls of AIPAC, pretty much, and which is a very powerful Jewish lobby, and with Congress. And Joe Biden, and you can go on the internet, I'm not making this up, Joe Biden, Christian, says there's no bigger Zionist than Joe Biden. Now, I, you know, my question is always, Joe Biden, are you running for the fucking president, vice president of the United States of America, or are you running for the vice presidency of Israel? Because I don't give a fuck if you're a big Zionist or not.
Yeah. Easy with the fuck. I'm just kidding.
You're
I wanted to ask you guys this question. Look at the way they're posturing. Because this is so fucking obvious. I can't understand why the average person, you know, who's in the process of waking up, maybe they're not at the point of me or you, Louis and Eric and Miguel and whoever's listening, but they have some idea that something's wrong. How come people are falling for this Iran has nuclear weapons gig if it was proven that Bush lied about WMDs for Iraq? And how come they're repeating the same story, but people are buying into it? You know, it's so fucking obvious. They're selling us on the exact same bullshit as before. And people are like, yeah, but we got to support Israel. They're our neighbors. And I have a whole profile here that I'm going to get to in a second after you answer that.
But that's the whole problem.
I'm going to make a whole video exposing this guy, how Steve Rothman is an agent of the New World Order.
Yeah, the whole problem with that is the U.S. gives aid to Israel and the rest of the Middle East. I mean, the reason why we give aid to Israel is because we're afraid that Israel will attack us if we don't. Because that, I mean, isn't that one of the threats they made, that if you don't give us money, we'll attack you? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I don't think so. Their next nuclear weapons wouldn't, you know, really. We have the capacity to take down their system. We have by far the most. No, and we have capability to shoot down anything they would send over here. However, they're one of the few countries that have nuclear weapons, admittedly, finally. And they're really what they were, our little outpost. But now, see, this is really what's going on, guys, in my opinion. The advent of the internet and all this information that's at people's fingertips instantly, people are waking up to really what's going on. Number two, because of these bloody illegal wars, Afghanistan, Iraq, America is now putting permanent military bases, four of them in one region of Iraq. Permanent, the largest military bases, U.S. military bases in the world are in Iraq. We don't need Israel anymore. And Israel knows this, and it's getting scared. And that's why it's starting to, you know, freak out a little bit, and it's starting to, you know, get worried, because the minute the United States looks at Israel as a liability, and the people wake up and say, well, geez, I lost my job, my house is foreclosed, I don't have health insurance, and you're sending $6 billion in tax money to Israel? What the hell's up with that, Joe Biden?
Oh, yeah.
Big design.
Well, Eric, I have the comprehensive figures here on my Steve Rothman report. I'm going to make a whole video about this, like I said. And it's ridiculous how much money that he specifically is responsible for giving to Israel.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we got to take a quick break. Got to go to commercial. This is the Crowd Shot Radio Show, kicking the crap out of the issues.
Yeah. Thanks for the shout-out, guys.
What do you consider that?
Sorry. You want to stay on, Eric? And he hung up. All right, guess not. There you go.
What do you consider that, torture?
Absolutely torture.
You do?
Absolutely. I mean, that's drowning.
Independent voters are now the biggest proportion of our electorate.
This is going to be a public relations, trust your government and your health officials, public campaign.
Smashing through the left-right paradigm, it's the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. Listen live at TalkShoe and check out our blog at www.crotchshotradio.com.
This podcast is proud to be a part of the Blueberry Network. Find freshly picked podcasts just for you at blueberry.com. That's blueberry, no E's, .com.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m., only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach, Monday through Friday, 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. Central, only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Delivery.com, the website that provides fast and easy online ordering from restaurants and caterers in your neighborhood. Some of the benefits of Delivery.com: save money with exclusive restaurant specials, no more busy signals, waiting on hold, or rummaging through piles of menus. Discover new restaurants and merchants in your neighborhood. Earn points on every order, which you can redeem for prices. Sign up today. Place an order with Delivery.com today and get 1,000 free delivery points. And exclusively for Crotch Shot Radio Show listeners, enter promo code TCSR69 for an additional 2,000 bonus points. Only from Delivery.com. Believe it or not, you could get a professional custom logo designed for under $50. Logo Nerds provides small businesses affordable logos custom made to your specifications. And satisfaction is always guaranteed. The Logo Nerds banner on CrutchShotRadio.com and get a logo done for $27.
Rise of the full-body portrait of the new American insurgent. Rattle and shake the foundations of the world order. Assembly line, consent, resist, refuse, inform, create, direct, love, once to the trenches, suit up, force.
What's up? That was the Flowbots. Just playing. Well, welcome back. This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. We're doing news and commentary. We had like a little thing about Israel. You know, slowly but surely, I'm trying to like get over my fear, my own pussiness, and just yes, there's some things that are even taboo to me, but it, you know, when all evidence is leading to that direction, I have to pursue it and just get over myself. You know what I mean?
I just wanted to say, your videos have been really doing some damage, man. You're really you're getting hits on your videos, and I wanted to say thank you for not only having me on tonight, but thanks for having me on your channel. That video that you posted of us at the mall really touched a lot of people. I've been getting a lot of positive feedback, so thank you.
Yeah, I made sure I linked it to your We Are Change New Jersey channel. So, in fact, everybody, if you want to check out Glenn's stuff, go to youtube.com/ We Are Change NJ. That's that's youtube.com/ We Are Change NJ. Website coming soon, right? What's the status on that?
Sometime this weekend or this week, it should be back on its legs. Miguel, that's also a direct order to start mobilizing. We need to, because I'm going to register the domain probably this weekend after I get my check. GoDaddy. So as soon as that happens, we need to start databasing and actually building the physical site back. But I'm sure we'll have plenty of content, no problem. I mean, look at what Louis is doing. Louis, a one-man army. But if we all come together, we can expose this information.
Yeah, Randall. He's like, sir, yes, sir. Yeah, get on that. Chap, chap. Anyways, this next article we got, this is probably under the no shit Sherlock file. At trial, Noriega claims Panama drug money a U.S.-run imaginary banking scheme. Panama's ex-dictator Manuel Noriega on Tuesday dismissed charges of laundering drug money as an imaginary banking scheme concocted by the United States as he took the stand in a French court. The 76-year-old general denied taking payments from Colombian drug lords in the 1980s and told the Paris courtroom that the cash deposits transferred to French banks came from his legitimate businesses and the CIA. I will say with much humility and respect that this is an imaginary banking scheme, Noriega told the court in Spanish through his interpreter on the second day of the trial. I will have the opportunity to produce documents that show that I was a victim of a conspiracy mounted by the United States against me, he said. Noriega, who ruled Panama from 1983 to 1989, spent 20 years in a Miami cell for drug trafficking and money laundering, and now faces the prospect of another decade in a French prison if convicted. Damn. I want to know how that worked. So what? Wasn't he the... All right, well, whatever. His lawyers argue that the charges against Noriega, who was extradited to France 2 months ago, hinged on a dodgy testimony from an ex-drug traffickers who were paid and given protection by U.S. authorities. Once a close U.S. ally, Noriega testified that Washington turned against him in the 1980s when he refused to allow Panama to become a staging ground for operations against leftists across Central America. That's when the propaganda started against me. After so many years of cooperation with the United States, he told the court as his three daughters sat nearby listening attentively. Presenting himself as a professional soldier, the ex-leader strongly denied dealings with Colombian drug cartels and said that, on the contrary, he had fought narco traffickers while in power in Panama in the 1980s. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Yeah, you want to know something interesting?
What?
I was watching Invisible Empire downstairs earlier in my kitchen,
mm-hmm.
and my mom comes in, and it's at the part where they're talking about Iran-Contra and drug trafficking, and specifically how Israeli forces were participating in the trafficking of cocaine and weapons. And it was Peter Jennings talking about it. And I'm just sitting there thinking the cognitive dissonance. My mom's hearing this, and she's a very pro-Israel person, by the way, because she's brainwashed by the media.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't participate in politics. She thinks it's futile. She thinks you just basically... She's sort of like a petty elitist. She thinks she's part of the New World Order when she doesn't realize she's getting hurt by it. But... She's sitting there as the movie's playing, and I'm getting my food in the refrigerator or whatever. And I'm like, Mom, yeah, you should really watch this film. It's very educational. And, for the first time, she actually had her ears open, and she was actually listening. You know, because Peter Jennings said it, it makes it true.
Mm.
But, yeah, the government does ship all the drugs in, and the Israelis are behind that as well.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah. Well, there you go. And of course, this also goes that there was a banking scheme. I energetically fought against the drug trade, back to the article, and for this, I received praise from the United States, Interpol, and many other countries, he said, wearing a dark suit and white shirt. Waving his hands at times to underscore his arguments, Noriega recounted that he had ordered a raid against a cocaine laboratory and raised other drug fighting campaigns. Based on these actions, I could not be friends with these gangs, he said, referring to the Colombian drug cartels. The pockmarked general, known as Pineapple Face, was arrested by U.S. troops that invaded Panama in December on a mission to arrest him and bring him to trial in the United States. The ex-leader was extradited to France on April 26 to answer charges of laundering the equivalent of 2.3 million euros, $2.8 million, from the Medellin cartel through French banks in the late 1980s. A French court in 1999 sentenced to Noriega in absentia to 10 years in prison and fine of some 13.5 million euros, but for years he fought extradition from his prison cell in Miami. French prosecutors say that the drug money funneled in late 1980s was used by Noriega's wife and shell company to buy three luxury apartments in Paris. Much of the hearing on Tuesday was devoted to questions about Noriega's bank accounts as he tries and his ties to the now defunct BCCI bank, that allegedly handled his financial affairs. Asked about the source of the millions in cash deposits at the bank, Noriega explained that the funds came from successful business ventures, including duty-free sales at Panama Airport and life insurance policies. After some 3 hours of testimony, Noriega's lawyer, Oliver Metzner, asked him point-blank if the funds in French banks' accounts were drug money. These funds were acquired in a transparent way. They come from my personal earnings, he said, and from the CIA, at Metzner, to which Noriega responded by nodding. The one-time strongman was a key asset for the Central Intelligence Agency in early 1980s, fell out with Washington after turning his strategically important Central American country into a hub for narco trafficking. Convicted in the United States on charges of drug trafficking and money laundering, Noriega was sentenced to 40 years in prison in a Florida court. His time was reduced to 17 years for good behavior. The trial wraps up on Wednesday, and a verdict could come as early as next month. So another guy who was in the pocket, another CIA guy, another Tim Osmond, basically also exposing the banking industry, exposing the fact that the CIA ships drugs in here, will use anybody. And the moment that they're not useful, the moment they don't stick to the program, they get thrown under the bus. Bottom line is, don't do business with the CIA.
And isn't that funny? Like I was saying about cognitive dissonance earlier, how we get accused of being CIA for fighting the info war.
Yeah.
Oh, well, my buddy Eric hung up. I was going to shout him out in a second. He just messaged me. But, yeah, definitely take a look at that homelessness article up on jerseyjournalnj.com. I just wanted to read you a couple statements from that if I could before I get out of here. Eric Nilsson, who is the voice of the Jersey City Peace Movement, is one of several people advocating for the help of the homeless on Jersey City streets, and the councilwoman Nidia Lopez, who's not even really a full-time Jersey City resident. She spends most of her time frolicking in Florida.
Not for long.
And, so they're brainwashing Hispanics to be down with the New World Order as well and be corrupt. So, very important to expose that as well. She gave out a pamphlet, a booklet.
Hey, you know what would have been useful? Perhaps a group, a 9/11 truth group in Spanish, an American 9/11 truth group in Spanish would have probably been useful. But no, apparently it's called racism. Fucking. All right, continue.
Yeah, basically she gave out a packet of information that was completely outdated in most of these shelters that she was recommending the homeless people go to. Again, the homeless people actually came to the city hall meeting to show how bad the problem is. And many of them could barely speak English or Spanish. And they basically just stood in front of a microphone and wept. But, you know, the elites, the political power elites, just rolled their eyes, including the Hispanics, Nidia Lopez, and these other scum, and they're saying, oh, well, we met recently with some of these homeless. We've tried to help them. We've offered them resources, but only a few of them actually, you know, that we met with, only a few of them actually did anything with the information. So that's their excuse, basically, that you're homeless because you're scum. And a lot of these people are just homeless because they're old and disabled and they can't work. They can't physically have a job. They need help. And in Nazi Germany, these people would be going to the concentration camps. I mean, no question about it. They would just be scooped off and the city would say, there, you know, just like you pick up a stray dog and take it to the dog pound to be executed. So jcpm.org is the website, Jersey City Peace Movement. Support Eric Anders Nilsson, my good friend.
Right.
My good companion.
Yeah, he really is a good guy. He does care. You know, every time I go to Jersey City to help you guys, do some activism, he's there with the food, feeding the homeless, you know, helping him out, trying to do stuff, and look what he's doing. He's trying to get the word out. I already mirrored it on crotchshotradio.com. It's posted as an announcement. It's a sticky post, so I'm gonna leave it up there as long as possible.
Yeah, Eric's always in the news. Yeah. He's always getting advertising space for certain peace demonstrations and movie screenings. He's all over the place. And,
right.
of course, he is Dennis Leary's stand-in on the acclaimed hit series on FX, Rescue Me.
Oh, is
going,
he?
Its newest season just started the other day. So, you know, Eric had a role in that.
Yeah, I actually saw the new season, the first episode of the season. It's getting pretty dark. Anyways, moving on, we got one last article before we say goodbye. I can't believe I stuck it out. Yeah, man, dude, I missed you. You know, it's good. It does my heart good. Yeah. When capitalism meets cannabis, this is from Cannabis Culture. Yes.
This is also from the New York Times Sunday edition.
Yes.
Very good, Louis. I'm just going to, you know what? That deserves a celebration. So I'm going to just listen to the soothing voice of Louis B. as I drift off.
Smoke weed every day.
Yeah. You know what? Pretty soon, we're going to say, help the economy.
Smoke weed every day.
Exactly.
But,
it's good
but
for
I
you.
Just...
Get your new vitamin C. Anyone who thinks it would be easy to get rich selling marijuana in a state where it's legal should spend an hour with Ravi Raspito, manager of The Pharmacy, an upscale dispensary here that offers strawberry haze, Hawaiian skunk, and other strains of cannabis sativa at up to $16 a gram. Wait, okay, hold on. I got to do the math here. How much is a gram? Gram.
$20.
$20 gram. And
well, the clinics offer it for like $15.
Gram. Yeah, because I mean a gram. For some reason, a gram doesn't seem a lot to me. 1 gram convert. Damn, that's not even. Damn. So ounces. So 1 ounce to gram. So 1 ounce is 28. Damn. So 1 ounce is 29 grams. So 29 times 16. Damn, you're paying $464 an ounce?
Yeah.
That's
yo, what prompted you to change your time slot, by the way?
More listeners.
Oh, very good. Yeah, more people were around.
Yeah. Damn, $464 for an ounce. They must be out their goddamn mind.
Well, look, in other countries, you can buy an ounce for like $50 to $100.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, yeah. No. In I forgot what country. Some Asian country where weed is so plentiful and it's so legal that people just leave bags and it ain't nothing because they could get one for like under $5. That's just. I mean. Oh goodness. And that's just for like dirt weed. Oh wow. What can be done about the people who collect welfare but are fully capable of working but choose to get a free apartment at government money? How would I turn such a person? Okay, I don't know where I'm lost. 1 ounce cost. Okay, 1 ounce costs about $350 to $400. This is from NetXZen. From the Talkshoe chat room. Used to get an ounce for $60 in the 80s. Damn, but $464. Anyways, back to the article. I'm fucking disgusted right now. She will harsh your mellow. No MBA program could have prepared me for this experience, she says, wearing a cream-colored schmock made of hemp. People have this misconception that you just jump into it and start making money hand over fist, and that is not the case. Since this place opened in January, it has been one nerve-fraying problem after another. Pot growers used to cash-only transactions are shocked to be paid with checks and ask for receipts, and there are a lot of unhappy surprises, like one not long ago when the pharmacy learned that its line of pot-infused beverages could not be sold nearby in Denver. Officials there had decided that any marijuana-tinged consumables had to be produced in a kitchen in a city. You'd never see that see a law that says if you want to sell Nike shoes in San Francisco, the shoes have to be made in San Francisco, says Ms. Respito, sitting in a tiny office on the second floor of the pharmacy. But in this industry, you get stuff like that all the time. One of the odder experiments in the recent history of American capitalism is unfolding here in the Rockies, the country's first attempt to fully regulating licensing and taxing for-profit marijuana trade. In California, medical marijuana dispensary owners work in nonprofit collectives, but the cannabis pioneers of Colorado are free to pocket as much as they can as long as they stay within the rules. The catch is that there are a ton of rules, and more are coming in the next few months. The authorities here were initially caught off guard when dispensary mania began last year, after President Obama announced that federal law enforcement officials wouldn't trouble users and suppliers as long as they complied with state law. Bullshit! In Colorado, where the constitutional amendment legalizing medical marijuana was passed in 2000, hundreds of dispensaries popped up and started a number of residents that turned out to be in severe pain, the most popular of 8 conditions that can be treated legally with an ounce demonized with the once demonized weed. More than 80,000 people here now have medical marijuana certificates, which are essentially prescriptions, and for months, new enrollees have signed up at a rate of roughly 1,000 a day. As supply met demand, politicians decided that a body of regulations was overdue. The state's Department of Revenue has spent months conceiving rules for this new industry, ending the reefer madness phase here in the favor of buzz-killing specifics about cultivation, distribution, storage, and every other part of the business. Whether and how this works will carefully watch far beyond Colorado. The rules here could be a blueprint for the 13 states, as well as the District of Columbia that have medical marijuana laws. That is particularly the case in Rhode Island, New Jersey, the District of Columbia, and Maine, which are poised to roll out programs of their own. Americans spend roughly $25 billion a year on marijuana, according to the Harvard economist Jeffrey Miron, which gives some idea of the popularity of this drug. Eventually, we might be talking about a sizable sum of tax revenue from its sale as medicine, not to mention private investment and employment. A spokesman for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Law says hedge fund investors and an assortment of financial service firms are starting to call around to sniff out opportunities. We're past the days when people call here to ask if marijuana will give men breasts, says Alan St. Pierre.
The dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's one of the biggest myths that they use to try to dissuade people. Oh, you'll grow breasts. It fucks with your hormones. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. The only thing it does is make you hungry, happy, sleepy, like the Cat Williams joke.
Yeah. Next Z Zen says, MJ is regulated up the ass, but no one checks on the beer and winemakers. What gives? Yeah, man. Oh, man. Because they even make it toilet wine. Toilet wine. Anyways. Moving on. What happens? The director of Normal. Now the calls are from angel investors or REITs. People who are looking for ways to invest or offer their services. What happens when pot goes legit? How does the government establish rules that allow the industry to flourish but not run rampant? And given that this is all about medicine, what about doctors, some of whom have turned medical marijuana consultations into a highly lucrative specialty? These and dozens of other questions are now being answered in cities like Boulder, an affluent, whole-grain kind of college town where a number of dispensaries, anywhere from 50 to 100 depending on whom you ask, is larger than the number of Starbucks and liquor stores combined. During a recent visit, it was clear that for every marijuana seller and physician who thinks that the rules are too strict, murky, or fluid, that there are others who can hardly wipe the smile off their faces. That's the thing, and I'm hoping, okay, well, there's more to this article. Just go to Crutch Shot Radio. We got it there. When capitalism meets cannabis, when the law in California passes, because it is going to pass, because there is too huge of a support for the taxation of marijuana, it's going to open the floodgates. The fact that I don't understand why this industry is being overly regulated. I don't know, after the miles, mountains, and all the proof there is that marijuana does not harm, that it's safer than alcohol, I've never heard of anyone getting into a fight after getting high. Hell, I would love to get the leader of the Nation of Islam, what's his name? I'm trying to remember his name. Oh, God. The guy that killed Malcolm X. Hello. Not Mandela. Farrakhan. Thank you. Thank you. I would love to get Farrakhan and David Duke in the same room and see what happens. Just give them something good. Just put a bong in the middle. Have them share. And watch. We could cure racism with weed. I think you could cure... Come on. Yeah, allegedly Farrakhan killed Malcolm X. Allegedly. He put in the order. Anyways, like to thank everyone for listening. Come back tomorrow. I think... You know what? Fuck it. Tomorrow... Pot episode. The pot show is tomorrow. Tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern. Tell your friends, tell your family. Like to thank everyone for listening. Enemy Combatant, a.k.a. Glenn Z, Jersey City.
Gone,
yeah, We Are Changed New Jersey. Miguel Wayando. Moose, CFR to Hell. Keith, Christy, Julia. Julia. Everybody, thank you for listening. Oh, also, next ZXZ Gen and Wind of Sewers. Like to thank everyone for listening to today's show. Tomorrow, pot episode. Nothing but weed news. The weed news. So there you go. So tune in. Let's have some fun. Spark up another one. God bless. And also, fuck the New World Order. If you don't want to look into what we got to say, and if you don't want to get over your own shit and just start looking into it like I have to, then then I guess fuck you too. And you know what? Fuck me for not looking into the whole Israeli Zionist conspiracy theory out of my own fear. So fuck me. All right. Bye.